association with Who1.co.uk presents the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 98 of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast. I'm Adam and...
Isabella.
You're Isabella, are you?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And this week we're going to be talking about a Doctor Who story. What Doctor Who story was it?
Dalek.
Go on in.
It's got a Dalek in.
Yes. I don't want... A sort of medium-sized synopsis will be good, rather than the word-for-word script that you normally come up with.
What do you mean?
Just basically the basic outline of the story.
The Doctor and Rose head up into this museum, which is in 2012, owned by Vincent Van Stan, who apparently owns the internet. And then he has his pet in the cage. And the Doctor goes and sees what it is, and it turns out it's a Last of the Daleks. And he's really, really angry and wants to kill it. Then Rose sees it getting tortured and wants to help. And talks to it. And touches it. Which regenerates the Dalek, making him kill the person who's torturing him.
Did he do that straight away before he regenerized? Took the electricity from the power of main? Because he couldn't actually shoot anybody until he walked out through the...
I just said that.
All right, fair enough.
And then the Doctor is getting...
Do people really want to listen to that voice?
Mm. Mr. M does. Carry on.
Oh man!
Not saying anything else now. Mumful. Not saying anything else.
You're just sounding very miserable.
Turn, Isabella!
Stop it!
Yeah. Carry on, please, Alicia.
No, because she's like, me.
Just get on, please.
Then? Is that better for you?
Yes.
Yeah, it will be.
Yeah, we're listening, come on.
This is just happening. Doctor is getting x-rayed by Van Stan.
Yes.
And he's like, if you want to live, you'll let me go free. So the Dalek escapes and unlocks over a billion combination, comes out. And then they're like shooting it, but nothing's working. So he smashes the screen where you can see the Doctor and uses electricity to regenerate and downloads the whole internet into his brain. Then shoots some stuff because he feels dominant. Then he shoots more people. By this time, Rose and what's the other dude called?
Very Maybe. Funny.
What's the other mate he calls?
It's very amusing. You know exactly what his name is.
What's the other mate he calls?
Alicia Comedy Pearson, isn't it?
What's the other mate he calls?
What, the boy, the pretty boy that used to be in Coronation Street that Rose is supposed to have some romantic...
Yeah,
You can't remember what his name is?
Yep.
You know full well what his name is.
I do not. Is it Steve or Jamie? I don't know.
Begins with A, Alicia.
Andy. I really don't know.
Annie. You do know. You're being awkward.
I'm not being awkward. I don't know what his name is.
I can tell you do by the silly little smirk on your face.
I don't know who his name is.
That was her fault, because she just disturbed me.
Try a little bit harder. Begins with A.
Alistair.
Four letters.
Probably your dickhead name.
Adam.
Well, congratulations. That was really hard, wasn't it? You all along don't know what
his name is. I didn't know what his name was, so what are you doing?
Ow! Ow, my foot!
Anyway, where did we get up to there?
That was hurtful again.
We got up to something to do with.
Then they get to a flight of stairs and they think that the Dalek can't conquer the stairs. So they're like making fun of him. And then he's like, elevate. And he elevates and goes upstairs and kills the soldier guard they were with. And that's all budding. I've got now.
You've forgotten. So you got up to the bit where they go up the stairs and I think the woman sacrifices herself to allow Rose to escape. Was Adam with them at this particular point?
It's Aaron, ain't it?
What?
It's Aaron.
Very funny. Because they did get separated because Rose ended up back with the Dalek.
Yeah.
At some point. So they were separated at some point.
Yeah, that's ages away, yeah.
Well, carry on then. Supposed to be a little brief outline of the storyline. Yes, Matthew.
And they get to this level... And there's those soldiers, and the soldier guard person tells the doctor that he knows how to defeat one tin robot, which he was wrong. And the Dalek shoots this the fire extinguisher thing. Loads of water comes down, and he electrocutes them all. And then he's like, "I only speak to the doctor." And then he gives a heart speech saying, "I don't know what to do. Where am I going to get my orders now?" And everything. And then. The doctor's like, "Why don't you do everybody a favour? Why don't you just die?" When the Dalek's like, "You would make a good Dalek."
Isabella's cuddly Dalek says that.
Well, no. And so, yeah.
And
turns off the screen, and then he's like, "We've got to lock the vault," which is a thing. And he calls Rose and tells her that she's going to lock the vault, so he hasn't got that long to get out. And they're running and running and running and running. And the doctor has no opportunity but to lock it. So he locks it. And Rose isn't getting there in time, but Adam gets does.
That's it, yes, thank you very much.
Yep. No, and then he hears this, exterminate. Well, he didn't really exterminate Rose.
Yeah, but we don't know that yet.
Yep. And the doctor's feeling all sorry for himself. And then the Dalek can't understand why he's feeling fear and all these emotions. And then he tells the doctor to open the vault, obviously called Kill Rose. He opens the vault and they go up a lift to her and the Dalek, and he starts questioning himself. He doesn't know who he is because he's got all these emotions. And then he wants to kill Henry Van Stam.
Staten.
But he can't.
Rose stops him.
And then he wants freedom. So Rose takes him to this place where he can get sunlight. Then he opens up, and then there's a little mutation thing inside, and he's just touching the sunlight. And all he wants to do is die. And then the doctor comes along with a gun. And Rose is like, "What are you turning into, Doctor?" And then he's like, "Oh, what a kitten!" And starts crying. Yeah.
Who does?
The Doctor.
Oh.
And then the Doctor's like, ordered me to die, Rose, order my destruction.
And she said one of your catchphrases at this point, didn't she?
Oh?
She said one of your catchphrases at this point, when he said the Dalek told her to order him to die. She said, "Do it." Yeah, she did, Patrick.
Do it, and then he explodes it.
It was very good effect, the explosion with the.
And then at the end, they said Adam told them that it's going to fill up with cement and need to get out of here. And then Doctor's like, "He's a bit pretty, but on your head be it, Rose." And then at the end, he goes into a TARDIS and they go away.
Briefer than your usual synopsis. Very, very well done. So, watch this story twice over the last week.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those watch stories you never really get sick of, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
What do you reckon? How does it rate, do you reckon, yourself in Dalek stories, as in, on a whole? How does this rate?
Well, it's the first single Dalek story.
No, I mean the whole, including the classic series.
It's one of the best
ones. One of the best. Do you say it's the best?
Yeah.
Oh, well,
actually.
Oh, you've changed your mind.
One of the best. One of the best.
Well, if it's one of the best, what would you say is the best, then?
Probably when they invade Earth and Davos. Everybody, I like that one. That's one of them.
When they invade Earth and Davos, what do you mean?
The Doomsday, isn't it?
Davos wasn't in Doomsday. He was in Stolen Earth and.
Yes, one.
That one.
I didn't do anything. It just comes up. I didn't do anything wrong.
Isabella, you saw this story, didn't you?
Yeah.
So what did you think of it?
Good.
So what happened? Do you remember what happened in the story?
Dalek, Isabella, the one we just...
Yeah, the one you watched this morning.
I don't know.
You don't know? Do you want me to remind you?
Yeah.
That there was a Dalek. Yeah?
Yeah.
So, does that help?
No.
You can't remember any of it?
No.
You can't remember the bit where it killed Rose, or was going to?
I don't even remember the bit when she took it to the doctor.
She took it to the doctor?
The Dalek.
Did she?
Yeah.
Then what happened?
He shooted the roof.
Shooted the roof?
Yeah, to get the sunlight.
Oh, right.
So he can go.
Yeah. Okay. So what did you think? Did you like it?
Yeah.
Good. Now, earlier on, Alicia, your mum made a point about Alicia. The tone of your voice during the show.
Out of my heart.
Eh?
Got a heartburn.
Good point, I think your mum had there. Because this is a clip from episode 19 of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who.
I'm podcast. Not listening.
I'm listening. I'm listening.
APP services in conjunction with
Who1.co.uk.
You like that, do
you?
Hang on. Let's just see if there's a difference from the tone of your voice. Stop wobbling the table.
You're an idiot.
Lisa.
You're an idiot.
Shut up.
You're an idiot.
Oh,
yeah. Here we go. Hello and welcome to episode 19 of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. I'm Adam.
I'm Alicia.
And we're having a second go at this because for some reason it didn't record the first episode.
I've said something really intelligent.
Yes.
Okay, let's just start again, shall we?
That's you saying you said something.
Shut up!
I think immediately from that you can tell the tone of your voice is completely different.
Yeah, because you were an idiot back then. I actually enjoyed doing it.
I wasn't an idiot.
No, now you're more over the top.
Are you saying the table's
turned? You had a tantrum last night. I was like, can we do it tonight? Right, but no, I'm happy.
What are you talking about?
Did he do that, Mum?
Last night? No. I remember having a tantrum last night.
There you go.
That wasn't a tantrum.
And you always
stop coughing on my arm.
You always talk differently than you do in real life.
Do I?
You do.
Well, of course I do. It's a podcast. I'm not supposed to talk with my normal voice.
Yeah. And you talk like an idiot.
Well, your voice is flipped round because you now talk like I used to talk. When earlier on in the podcast you spoke the way I talk now. So let's even it out. We both talk the same.
Shut up.
So what would you like to do next then?
That right?
Cuddle?
No.
Doctor Who news?
There's nothing much in the Doctor Who news.
And what makes you think that?
There's no Doctor Who on, so why would there be anything in the news?
Well, the thing is, there's things like conventions. Talking of conventions, there's a convention I'd like to go to next year around my birthday time. It's in Kent somewhere. I was born in Kent, so that would be rather apt. I forget.
Is that in Wales?
Is Kent in Wales? No. It's Kent.
Where's Kent?
It's a county that neighbours Greater London.
Oh.
Anyway, Isabella's playing on the Nintendo Wii at the moment, so please forgive the strange background noises. Yes, I must say, I'll have to have a look into that one because I forget the name of the convention, but somebody was talking about the fact they went to it. Colin Baker turned up at it.
Oh. Yeah.
That's a good one.
I bet if you go that nobody will turn up at it, but you know.
Can you get the sheet away from your mouth?
There we go.
Can you be quiet, please?
I'm brushing the dog's teeth.
Yeah. Yeah, well. Anyway, so BBC Worldwide have announced a few more of the guests due to appear at the official Doctor Who convention in March. That's the one that's £99 ahead. And because you weren't on the show last week, you missed out the fact that some of the people paying these £99 tickets are actually going to be taken to the Doctor Who set and be able to see the actual
TARDIS. Are you sure, please?
Thank you for that.
You should come on.
What am I saying? Those are going to see the TARDIS set. Alicia.
Which one is it?
Mark Shepherd, who featured in last year's series as Canton. I missed that look then. There's no point doing looks. I'm not looking at you, Deb. I can't see the look.
She just said she tried not to smile, but tried to even look. So, no, I'm ready for it. You ready for it? Ready? You ready for it? She did this.
Anyway, Mark Shepherd, who played Canton in Doctor Who.
Who's
Canton? Canton, Delaware the First. Canton, remember Canton?
I remember Canton now.
Impossible Planet. Astronaut, sorry. Yeah, anyway,
you
he's...
the name wrong, why don't
he's going to be at the official convention in Cardiff that I can't go to on the 21st and 20, sorry, 24th and 25th. And what you don't know is Siobhan Galichon says that anybody who goes to that convention is no longer allowed to listen to her podcast.
Why?
Because she disagrees with the rip-off price. But you do get to go to, if you're lucky enough, first come, first serve basis to see the actual TARDIS console room set. Thing. Anyway, Ian McNeice, who played Winston Churchill, is also going to be there. And Raquel Cassidy, who plays Cleves. Raquel Cassidy has been on telly quite a lot recently. She's got a lot of these new dramas coming up. I'm not too sure she's not in Being Human, actually. I can't remember. Doctor Who Experience have announced a new item of merchandise now available from their shop. And yes, we will all go to the Doctor Who Experience next time we go somewhere near Cardiff. So Isabella would have enjoyed that, wouldn't you, Alicia?
Yeah.
Yes. It's a kid's Cyberman hoodie, though.
Aww.
Yes. Would you like one of those, Isabella? She can't hear me.
Yeah.
Would you like one of these? It's a Cyberman hoodie.
Yeah.
You would. Right, there you go. So that's we'll get that. I'm going to go to the Doctor Experience when it moves to Cardiff. At the bicentenary of Charles Dickens' birth on the 7th of February, Simon Callow is touring to promote... I can't speak. He's touring to promote a book about the author. Now, he did appear on The One Show, didn't he, Elite?
Yes, he did.
Talking about Charles Dickens and stuff. But I didn't get to see if they showed any clips of him as Charles Dickens in Doctor Who. Did they?
I think he did. They did.
Thank you.
Jean Marsh has spoken of the serious health scares that she suffered late last year and how she resolved them to appear in the forthcoming series of Upstairs Downstairs. Six episodes of Upstairs Downstairs coming up, featuring two former Doctor Who actresses and companions. Jean Marsh, who played Sarah Kingdom, and Alex Kingston, who played River Song. So there we go. They're both going to be.
They're on Graham Norton.
No, Alex Kingston was on Graham Norton. Shush.
There. You were in my way.
Can I please speak? Phantom Films are to release the autobiography of Jacqueline Pierce, who played Shosen in The Two Doctors. Oh, Chasini, as it should actually. She played Chasini in
Who's
the
that?
Played the baddie in the Two Doctors. Also she played Servalan in Blake 7, so her autobiography is coming out. I'm sorry about the background noise, it's very rude.
Potter.
Ben Harry Foster Potter. Featured as a guest at ABC Melbourne. Can I speak?
Yeah.
ABC Melbourne 774 to discuss the concert and his music career. An interview can be downloaded from their website. I think that's the thing that Reese went to in Melbourne.
Wow.
He's already published some pictures of it on his Facebook page. And we'll be talking about that with Reese later on.
I've had talk.
Can you lot be quiet? Saturday we'll see the performance, that's a couple of days ago, of the Doctor Who Symphonic Spectacular taking place in the Plenary Hall in Melbourne. I've just spoken about that. That's a thing that Reese went to. Grief, they're just repeating themselves. Frederick Treves, 1925 to 2012.
Who's
the
that?
Actor, Frederick Treves, has died at the age of 86.
Who's that?
Well, if you let me read on, okay. He appeared in four episodes of Doctor Who playing Lieutenant Brotodak in 1980 story Megalos. There he is. I probably don't remember. Oh, bad actor. That's an anagram of bad actor, wasn't it? Brotodak. Anyway, yeah, he's passed away. What else we got here? Yeah, somebody's proposed to somebody at the Doctor Experience.
Oh, hey.
But it says Matt Smith proposes to girlfriend at the Doctor Experience. I don't think it's our Matt Smith, is it? Matt Smith last night proposed to his long-standing girlfriend at the Doctor Experience in London. The marriage offer, which Matt had been planning for weeks, with some help from BBC Worldwide, came as a complete surprise to his girlfriend, who was under the impression she was visiting the capital for a shopping trip. That's not Matt Smith, is it? It's a different Matt Smith.
Have a look.
It's a different Matt Smith.
I don't care. I want to see.
It's a different... Don't grab my computer like
that. Front. Where are you going? In the front.
Listeners, I do apologise for the background noise.
That's adorable.
Is it? Somebody's a pop... Can I have my computer back? Yeah, somebody's proposed to their girlfriend at the Doctor Experience. Now, what did she say? Let's see if we can find out.
No.
Can't you see it?
Oh, she said yes. I don't want to read that, it's boring. And Janet Fielding is campaigning on behalf of a project to save Ramsgate's Motor House Museum. I mean, that's riveting news. As previously reported, a longer interview with... I'm not going to read that either. So that's going to be edited out, because it's nothing really to speak about. There was something that reminded me. Like, oh, yes, we were watching the, as you mentioned earlier, Graham Norton show.
Yeah.
Now, Alex Kingston was on there, but... There was also somebody else. Oh, John Barrowman.
He was on the one show.
I don't know, Alice Kingston reminds me of John Barrowman. But John Barrowman was on the one show with his sister. Did you see that?
Yeah.
And he spoke about the fact that Torchwood is in hiatus while Russell T. Davies looks after his seriously ill partner.
Who's that?
Russell T. Davies, his partner, he's got brain cancer, so he's moved back to this country to look after him. In obviously time he's done that, he's set up this new kids' TV show to replace Sarah Jane Ventures.
What's that?
Now, the Wizards versus Aliens thing.
Good.
I did talk about it a few weeks ago about it, Alicia.
You going to watch it?
I suppose so. So it's a Russell T. Davies programme. It's going to be quite good, but it is the replacement for Sarah Jane. It's got nothing to do with Doctor Who, but it's Wizard versus Alien. Like, so, and if it's Russell T. Davies.
Sounds good.
But, yeah, John Barron was basically saying that, yeah, Torchwood may well come back one day. And he says that he also said that he loves playing Captain Jack because he considers himself to be Captain Jack. So that was a glowing reference to his favourite part that he plays, and he's very good, isn't he? He was nominated in the NTAs for Best Actor. This is for his part as Captain Jack Harkness. Right then, shall we move on to
eBay?
Do you want to move on to eBay?
Yeah.
What does that smell?
Me. I farted.
Nice. The top item in eBay this week, listed at £3,500.
Who would buy that?
Somebody with a lot of money. Generally, Doctor Who fans haven't got that much money because they spend it all on going to conventions. Doctor Who Rare Collection Unique Books, DVDs, Autographs. £3,500.
Who'd do that?
Not even I would buy that. Apparently, it was something I heard about that Colin Baker, when he was at this convention in Margate, or whatever it was, somewhere in Kent, he was doing a reality TV show where celebrities try to help people through OCD things. And this bloke's got an OCD problem. He can't not buy Doctor Who merchandise. So he went to the convention as a surprise to sell loads of Doctor Who merchandise. And the bloke was selling it with him.
Oh.
To try and cure him of his OCD problem. But obviously he hasn't been that much of an OCD because he hasn't bought any of this merchandise here on eBay. Good grief. It's worse than doing the podcast on a Monday. The dogs are always farting on Mondays. Magic, for instance, is the main culprit on Mondays. Right in the middle of the day, you get a mouthful of magic fart, which is really revolting. He's well known as Magic the Farting Dog now, you know that, don't you?
Star is...
What, a farting dog?
No, she's being cute.
Do you know, doing a blue diary, you know, the River Song's blue diary copies? £200 they're doing.
Why?
Because they think people are stupid enough to want to pay
£200. I swear they would do a diary like that for like
£12. There is a limited edition, but I mean, I've seen it, and there's nothing in it. It's just a blank book. It's not like you open it up and there's like the pictures and the texts that River Song has actually got written in her diary. So I think personally it's a rubbish tyrannical.
I feel I should release it as a book.
Do you?
Yeah.
Anyway, the item that's top of the list, in fact, that's got bids against it, is a room size Doctor Who TARDIS console. Can I have it? Look, it's an actual room size one. It's a TARDIS console. Shall we look in it? Shall we look at it? Because this looks quite good.
You would probably get that for a million.
Look at that. Isn't that good? It's a room size one.
Wow.
£155.
That's actually quite cheap.
It's used. Well, it would be, wouldn't it? A doctor used it. It says, used an item that has been previously used. I know that. See the seller's listing, blah de blah blah. TARDIS console. You see on YouTube under mini doc regeneration, or Google it as TARDIS bedroom. You will see, sorry, you will be able to see it. It has been sadly outgrown. However, it is a perfect size for any Doctor Who fan for his room, blah de blah de blah. But currently listed with two bids at £155. Pounds, got 3 days left, so by the time this show goes out, it'll still be on eBay. What else we got here? Moving on to page three. Not a lot of bids going on eBay for Doctor Who stuff at the moment.
People can't afford it.
The second item is Doctor Who Monster Invasion Collector's Master Set in Binder. That's those little cards.
Oh.
You know, the cards, I've got some of those little things. They're in a folder. Like she had with her Disney ones, but they're Doctor Who ones, and you have to buy them. Slightly different. 20 bids for them, and see what price is up to at the moment. £117. Probably cost more to actually collect them. So, a bit of money about there, I suppose. And see if we can find the final item. Not doing too well at the moment. So, Ben, I hope you weren't picking your nose and eating it then.
You disgusting girl!
I didn't!
That's why don't lie! Well, you're putting your finger in your mouth, it looked very suspicious what you actually had on your finger before you put it in your mouth.
You're eating other people when you do that.
That's true. She's also eating part of herself.
Now, should I pick you with this?
Oh, that, I'll go back. That was quite something interesting. I just came into view. You've seen my box set of series 6, haven't you?
Yeah.
How superb is it?
Is that the 3D one?
Yeah, the one with the silent face on it.
Yeah.
Remember, I that was £55 on play.com when I bought it. Look, someone's listed it on eBay.
For £90.
£90. So I could sell that for £90, Dad. Hello?
Would actually anybody buy it?
My limited edition box set of series 6 with a silent head on it. It's been listed at £90 on eBay.
What, just the box?
No, the DVDs in it, all the the cards and everything that comes with it. Yeah, I don't want to sell it, but I'm saying it's interesting.
You're going to buy it?
Well, you won't get it, it's limited edition. You can't get the one with the silent head on it anymore.
Is it?
Yes!
You're lucky to get it then, aren't you?
Well, I got it before I pre-ordered it. Anyway, the last item says Doctor Who Character Build Series 2 Super Rare. Who do you think it's going to say when it just starts with
Amy.
It's a super rare Amy. Oh, it's the pirate Amy.
Oh.
Super rare pirate Amy. Oh, look, it comes in a little box with a Lego thing on it.
Isabella!
Oh, don't shout! Yeah, it's currently listed. Ow!
Amy.
It's the super rare Amy. Little pirate one. Currently listed at £87.57,
Deb. Oh, yeah,
right. But if you gave that to you, Isabella, we know you'd bite its hair off, because that's all Isabella does to these character option things. She bites the hair off, don't you, Isabella?
No, I don't.
Yes, you do. And that concludes eBay for this week. What do you think of that, then, Alicia?
Wow.
So what Doctor Who-related... You can't speak all of a sudden. What Doctor Who-related stuff are you going to do this week, then?
Watch another Doctor Who episode, I suppose. We're drawing close to the Empty Child one, aren't we?
Yeah. Oi, do not touch that. You're going to watch Empty Child. Do you want to do a commentary on it whilst you're watching it?
Oh, no.
Okay. You're going to watch it, though?
I don't know.
You said you would. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, you said you'd watch it.
I don't think I
would. Bear in mind, can I just point out with this Empty Child thing? How old was she when she watched it originally, Deb? It was 2005. Don't do rude gestures to me, thank you very much.
I didn't.
I think you find you did.
I didn't. Don't accuse me of something. I did. Don't you dare.
You nearly did. Your hand came
don't
out.
Don't you dare.
Your hand came into a position. Ooh, you were just about to do a rude gesture.
I can move my hands.
Oh, shut up. I don't feel...
Did you tell me to shut up?
I just did. I don't feel I'm going to watch it.
Pardon?
I don't think I'm going to watch it.
Can I finish my sentence as I get interrupted by your stupid bickering? You watched it when you were... Well, how old were you in 2005, Alicia? Let's try and work it out.
She was a nice girl.
7. When it was on. Right, 7 years ago. You'll probably find you watch it now as nowhere near as scary as you originally thought it was. Oh, so I just suggest you watch it.
I don't want to. You can't force me to watch something.
You said a couple of weeks ago, I said, are you going to watch it? You said yes.
I don't want to watch it. Okay?
Watch it, for goodness sake. How many times when you watched things when you were a kid and you thought, that's scary, and you've watched it when you're an adult and thought,
No, I haven't.
What?
I've never watched things that I thought were scary. I've never watched it again.
Well, I can think of an example. Jaws. I thought that was really scary. No, I don't like the bit where the head pops out.
No, I've never watched it again.
Well, I watched that when I was 9. Never. My nan very kindly took me to the cinema to watch that.
I've never watched it again. So I can see where she's coming from.
I don't know.
If you once you're scared...
So after I said to the listeners, she's promised to watch Empty Child and Dr. Dances... She's now backtracking and gone against her promises.
Yeah, she does.
Again.
No, she's not.
She has. She said she'd watch
don't
it.
Don't bully her.
Give us your bloody pocket money now.
She doesn't get any pocket money.
That's a bit silly.
Dinner money. Her. Give us your dinner money now. Shut That's what up, bullying is, isn't it?
I don't want to watch it. You can't force me to.
Not forcing you to, but I'm just saying you did say you would.
I really don't.
No, I don't really. You don't have to.
Why don't you just watch a
no,
bit of it?
No, you don't force somebody to watch something that they're scared of.
Right, where's the...
Okay, you don't do it.
Where's the chair with the shackles on it? Do you remember when she was little and she was really naughty and I said that if you don't do so-and-so, I'll put Empty Child on. Remember that?
Yeah.
It worked. Oh dear. Well, thanks for your loyalty to the...
I don't want
to
watch it.
To the podcast.
I can understand
where
she's coming from.
I think I want to play.
Oh, I give up. I was looking forward to watching that one with you.
Why?
Well, I just thought it'd be nice to sit down and watch something that you've only watched once. You won't remember much of the storyline. And we could actually sit and watch it together. But no.
Merlin's
better,
isn't it? No, it's not.
Merlin's amazing.
It is amazing, but it's not better. It's different.
Much better.
No, Merlin's addictive to watch.
Mm.
No, it's not. Doctor Who is addictive to watch. What do you think of watching it all the blooming time?
Hundreds
of episodes.
I like Doctor Who.
We watched Dalek twice in 2 days.
I know Doctor Who is really good and everything, but it's always a happy ending.
Is it?
Yeah, see, Merlin's die.
Always a happy ending in Doctor Who.
Merlin's mine.
I don't think so.
Love Merlin.
What about the end of the victory of the Daleks when the Doctor let the Daleks escape? That wasn't a happy ending, was it?
For us girls in the house, we prefer Merlin.
Yeah.
Merlin.
Exactly.
I would watch a whole series of Merlin one day.
Yeah.
One day
I'll
watch Merlin all day.
When I'm ill, just stick on a series of Merlin. Merlin's one of those things that you think, when you go back and watch it, you think, oh, I forgot about that episode.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
This is not a Merlin podcast.
Don't care.
We're
boycotting it as
I've already sung the praises of Merlin on this show, and I don't intend to continue doing so.
Well, we're going to.
Because I do.
Yeah, but also Doctor Who actor was in
There's
Merlin.
Always Doctor
yeah,
Who actors.
Right,
There's always Doctor Who actors in Merlin.
Yeah, there you go. Then.
Name one then.
Well, there was one in the episode we just watched. That was Michelle Ryan, who's in Doctor Who when they were in Planet of the Dead. And a couple of weeks ago, it was Eve Miles, who was in Doctor Who and Torchwood. If you want me to point out the Doctor Who actors, I will quite gladly do that. Merlin. Oh, he was in Doctor Who.
Was he?
He was in Blooming Midnight.
Yeah, he was in that space thing, in the space.
Yeah, Midnight.
Oh, yeah, Merlin was in that.
Yeah, there you go. Every single episode of Merlin has got a Doctor Who actor in it.
It proves that Merlin is good, though.
Yes.
I wonder when they're making a new series. I think I should start making it soon,
right now. Series 5 will be the 5th series of the highly popular drama show... And it just jumped.
Highly popular, there you go.
Yeah.
See?
It is highly popular, Deborah, because it's very good.
Filming will begin in March 2012 in Cardiff.
There you go.
13 episodes.
Oh, 13.
However,
it's not clear. At this stage, not clear that when the fifth series will be shown, although some sources say that it will be shown in September 2012. This would mean that it will be shown at the same time as Doctor Who 7th series. Unlikely they'll do that. Unlike their shots. Because they're both made by. Both BBC. Because they're both BBC Wales programmes and they're both set to. To actually, one replaces the other, you know. Basically, it is. It's a spin off. It's a Doctor Who spin off series.
Could you hurry up?
Go away. Come on!
No.
Move!
What should we talk then about continuing then with the Doctor Who thing? Just to drag it out a bit longer, Alicia. Isabella!
Wow.
King Arthur's body.
King Arthur's fit.
Isabella.
What we used to learn in podcasts instead. It's so much interesting more to talk about. With Doctor Who, yeah, it's good. The problem is that it's repetitive.
Yeah, here.
Isabella, it's not. What rubbish? No. Doctor Who's repetitive.
No, it is.
Oh, it's repetitive, listeners. Oh, you heard it here first. Alicia says Doctor Who, which is the most diverse drama series ever made, is repetitive.
Yep, that's it. Yeah. You've got it.
At least Merlin's got a bit of action
there. So give me an example of repetitivity in Doctor Who, then.
It's always a happy ending.
There's always a happy ending in Merlin, for goodness sake.
No, people always die.
Or there's a cliffhanger.
There's a cliffhanger in Doctor Who.
Yeah, but it's rarely you get two episodes.
No,
right.
Sorry, Adam, but I'm afraid this household's going to Merlin more recently.
Go!
I used to hate Merlin until I started watching it.
So I've compared to Alicia.
You don't need to convert people. Merlin is very good.
No, you wouldn't admit it at first.
No, I never said that.
Yes, you did.
Merlin's amazing.
But no, you cannot say that Doctor Who is repetitive because it's the most story. With Merlin, it's the same idea of a story, although they're brilliantly done that there's different storylines. On the old myth, brilliant. Every week, but it's in the same setting. With Doctor Who,
Camelot, you stupid man.
I'm saying with Doctor Who, they can be in Camelot one week, the next week they can be on the moon. It's different every week. There's always something different.
It's you know Camelot, right? Is it real?
So basically, you're opting out
because he wants to finish his podcast.
We've got some.
Okay, we're going back to the subject of Doctor Who.
Well, next week we are looking at the. Long game, I think it's called.
Is that the one with the blobby thing on the ceiling?
To do that for me.
I think so. But when the Empty Child and Dr. Dancers come along, you're opting out of the podcast then for that week, which is, funny enough, episode 100. Oh, that's a shame.
No, I'm still going to be there for episode 100.
How are you going to do that then, when we're talking about Dr. Dancers and Empty Child then?
Hold on, when is episode 100?
20th of February.
I've got school.
But that's the week we'll be talking about that.
That day too.
So there's a bit of a problem there, isn't it?
No.
Right, come on, Isabella.
I'm making a pattern.
There's nothing on Twitter.
Come on, then.
Right, thank you, Alicia. I don't know why I bothered.
That's rude. See, I made the effort to come on, and then you have a blimmin' go at me.
And then you talk about Merlin for about half an hour. Yeah. Get your leg out the way of the microphone.
I've converted Alicia to
me. Right. Now it's time to get some Doctor Who fans on the show. So here we have Ben Shoveler.
No!
He's back. Rich Barton.
Hello.
And Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Hello.
And it's nice to get your names right this week.
Did you get my name wrong last week?
No.
I'm all right then. Ben, I'm unaffected by your comment.
Ben, it's so nice to have you back.
Thanks.
It was so no comedy nice on the show at all last week.
I know, I can imagine the celebrity element went right down.
Yeah, well, we did have Tom Baker on for a special interview, didn't we, lads?
Yes, we did. Would you like a jelly baby?
Did Tom Baker come by and say, I'd like to be Doctor Who if you don't mind?
He did, yes.
But, he offered us a jelly baby.
Of course, recent Kirby didn't say anything to him, so I'd speak to him all myself.
Yeah, right, we took over there. You were starstruck. You were the one starstruck.
In that case, we shall just move on, shan't we, Romana?
Yes, anyway, something sprung to mind, actually.
Was it a spring?
No.
Sounds painful.
I was thinking about it all the way building up to recording this show, and now it's come to it. I've completely forgotten what it was. So,
was it?
Oh, dear.
How wonderful I am.
Oh, no, I know what it was. I know what it was, and I have to play a little bit of audio eventually to when I get my lead out, because it's in relation to our interview with Louise Jamieson. I noticed that...
Keep your lead away, please.
On another podcast, they also had an interview with Louise Jamieson, but it was nowhere near as good as our interview with Louise Jamieson.
It was nowhere near as long either, was it?
No, exactly. So I think we win that. It was the Doctor Who podcast, wasn't it, if I remember rightly? They went to that convention that I want to go to next year. Is it in Margate or something like that?
Margate! It's Gallon Margate!
Oh. But yeah, so...
You need to get to a convention.
I do. Happy birthday, Ben, for the other day.
Oh, thank you
and
very
happy
much!
Happy birthday, Richard Culp, for today.
Yeah, happy birthday, Richard, yes, indeed. So, did you get anything nice for your birthday, Ben?
No.
No, why not?
Because I've got a bunch of family and friends.
Doesn't a birthday wish on Facebook count from me?
Well, yes, I saw that, but that actually came through on Friday evening, because obviously you're 4 days ahead of us, so you got the timing slightly wrong.
Well, 3 years ahead of you.
Oh, it's changed. Because I say so, because I'm Stephen. I can rewrite anything I want to make it fit any crap story that I decide to spew out. I've sworn twice in the first couple of minutes. I do apologise.
It's not very good, is it, really?
I shall...
Oh, he's back.
Right. I shall stop swearing immediately.
That'll be good.
But no, it's a very good birthday, but I did do two pantomimes. So, you know,
yes, excellent.
Oh, yes, I did.
No, you didn't. Ah! I couldn't resist it. Right.
Thanks.
No, that's what I was saying. What?
I hadn't finished.
Oh, go on, sorry.
I hadn't finished.
Haven't
you? No.
We'll carry on then.
You know, and this is there is a link here to something we have previously discussed, which I should make abundantly clear at some point in the next 15 or so minutes of talking.
Okay.
But you know that a couple of months ago, we were sitting here and you mentioned the fact that they'd that the cast and crew, or at least Tennant and Barrowman and Catherine Tate, had done a version of Victoria Wood's Let's Do It for the Russell T. Davis and Julie Gardner leaving party.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that sprung me into ideas of...
There are springs all over the place this episode.
Oh, aren't there? Yeah. Mm. Better not let one off in the wrong direction, or we could get a twang we don't want. Yes, indeed. Ooh, pardon, missus. And my dad's been directing these pantomimes for the last, 8 years, and it was his last one on Saturday. And so, inspired by that song, I wrote my own version for him and the producer of the pantomime. Huh. And it is rather wonderful, actually. And there is a video, and apparently now a bit on YouTube.
Cool.
So, you can search Colin and Ben, and you'll probably find it, because there won't be many people called Colin and Ben doing a song on YouTube. Thing. But it's very funny, and the words are on Facebook as well, but not on our site, on someone called...
I'll have to have a search for that while I'm here with my iPhone 4S returned to life.
Well, if you search on Facebook, if you have a look for the hats, that's the hats, H-A-T-S, then the lyrics are on there, and they won't make a lot of sense to a lot of people because they're all kind of like quite in jokes, but you just read the quality of writing and think, yes, you are quite clearly a genius.
Okay.
Unlike Stephen Moffat.
Mm.
All right,
steady on.
Anyone from the BBC will more than likely read those lyrics and think, what is he doing writing songs like this when we've got a vacancy to make Doctor Who good again? Let's get rid of Moffat. He's obviously more bothered about Sherlock Holmes and running around in 1890s London with pounds of Baskerville
stuff
instead of tin dogs. See, there's a link there as well. And they'll probably get me into to completely revamp the series and to... you know, the first thing I'd do if I was in charge of Doctor, I'd bring back Adric.
Oh, my.
Yeah. In some sort of time-travelling thing. there'd be some sort of...
In Doctor Who? That's
a time-travelling thing. I'd introduce some sort of time-travelling element into the show, which I don't think I've done before. And I'd bring back Adric and then Tegan, and then they'd have babies, and then I'd leave them back on another planet, and then I'd go and rescue Perry from her marriage that just wasn't working. But obviously, I'd have to go back to the middle of the 80s type Perry, because, you know, bless her, she'd be a little bit older and a little bit saggier now, and no one wants to see that. We'll have the old Perry back, thanks very much. And, yeah. See, that's what I'd do if I was in charge. And also, I'd make Matt Smith regenerate into...
Me.
Me.
No, maybe into Martin Clunes, as you illustrated to Louise a couple of weeks ago.
Might even be Martin Kemp out of Spandau Ballet. Yeah, that might work.
Anyway, moving on.
Yeah. Ross Kemp out of East End. Paul
yes.
Ross.
Yes, okay. Now, as I was saying, in relation to Louise Jameson's appearance on
but
the show...
But you've got back now, aren't you?
Pardon? Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, yes. Yes, Ian Kirk sent in some feedback in relation to her one-man show, and this is what he said.
Funny Faces is Louise Jameson's one-woman show. She's brilliant.
Who's in it?
Louise plays a woman called John Taylor, who is a TV presenter who seems to be coming to the end of her career. The play is about the days around her 55th birthday. The play starts with her hangover the day after her birthday party, and she tells her story as a series of flashbacks. By coincidence, as it were, Joanne is also doing a one-woman show, and gets the audience to shout to her mobile phone to prove that she can still pull in an audience.
Oh, no, they don't.
Joanne has a radio show, but wants to be back on TV. Her agent tells her that if she does not get a facelift, her TV days are over. At her birthday party, she learns a surprising secret about her arch-rival's personal assistant and has news about her favourite aunt. Louise does the voices of all 12 characters, including a Yorkshireman.
Hello?
By the time this podcast goes out, there will only be two tour dates left for Pulling Faces, one on each side of the Atlantic. The Old Town Hall in Hemel Hempstead on Friday the 10th of February at 8 p.m.
Too far.
The LAX Marriott, Los Angeles, on Friday the 17th of February at 8:30.
Getting tickets.
Louise is a friend of the 20 Megabyte podcast, so go along if you can. And she's brilliant.
So that was part one of the thing. Obviously, thank you, Ian, for that feedback.
Yes.
What I did, I actually forwarded that feedback to Louise, because I thought she'd quite like to hear that. And
did you get a reply?
I did.
Oh, did you?
She said, stop pestering me. I'm fed. Oh, no, she didn't say that, sorry.
She said, the lawsuit's in the post now.
She said that to me.
Doesn't surprise me.
Anyway. She said that to you too, apparently, but you just deleted that straight away, I'm sure.
No, she said to me, you were by far the funniest and most entertaining one of the podcast crew. Do go by yourself. Go solo, sir. Spread your wings and fly like I did once.
As long as it's only wings you're spreading.
Well, luckily we
went. Anyway, this is what Louise said in relation to me sending that feedback to her.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Ian, this is really for you.
She shook her head with her collar on.
Pardon?
That was me, sorry.
Oh,
God. Anyway, for Ian, this is for you from Louise. Oh, thanks for that. What a lovely plug. Kiss, Lou.
Wow.
She hates you.
So there you go. Right, we have feedback, actually, in relation to this show, which is quite nice, after I asked for some last week. Don't quite know where to start with that. I sent some to you, didn't I, Ben?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Hold on, man. Let's just have a look in my newly made podcast folder.
What's that? Not that new? Have you made an even newer one?
There we go. No, it's the same
podcast
one.
Podcast folder Mark II.
Yes. Yes, it's like K9 Mark II. Looks exactly the same. There's no different in any way whatsoever.
Yes, that's what I thought.
I'm just being told that we didn't have any normal bread at the shop, so the wives had to come home with a different loaf of bread.
Oh.
That's exciting.
Wow. I thought I'd share that with the podcast audience.
Thank you. We need to get Rachel on the show, because it's quite nice hearing her in the background and hearing her interesting sort of reactions to your
story
comedy.
About bread.
Yeah, so we need to get her on the show.
That's my life, really.
What?
Just, boring stories about bread.
You need to get out a bit more then.
I haven't got any money. Spend it all on bread.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah. This email is this one of the Aliens of London / World War III one from Richard Culp. Okay, he says, after listening to the podcast, I think the listeners to this and other podcasts have learned a few good lessons that will make the presenters of the podcast life much easier. Two simple things can be done. Rule number one, use spell check. After listening to the email with two grammatical errors, I was smugly smiling at how I always make an effort to use the tool provided at the top of my Hotmail page. It is a simple tool that helps fix these errors. Sadly, the spell check does not prevent the second mistake that I committed. I could feel the glare of all my English teachers looking at me. How many English teachers did he have? I generally had one. How could I have made such a horrible mistake? Easy answer, I forgot to read my own email to myself. Rule number two, read your email before you send it off. If I had followed this little rule, my email would have turned out far better. Moral of the story above, use spell check and read the email to yourself before you send it. This email will now return to its scheduled topic, Doctor Who, Aliens of London / World War III, present an odd bump to the return of Doctor Who. It's our two first part story that presents us with the return of the old Doctor.
Or even who, first two part story.
Yes, whatever. All the right, not necessarily in the right order. It is our first two part story that presents us with the return of an old Doctor staple, the cliffhanger. It also allows the writers a means of leaving us hanging on like the old serial did in the classic old run of a show. What could possibly go wrong? Well, quite a few things, if you're not careful. From my own perspective, I had these issues. Moving the email down a bit. He didn't type that. That was me adding that in.
Oh, really?
I gathered that.
Yeah, that was. It wasn't in the email. Oh. Either this bit that I'm saying now. These bits are like words coming out of my head, not off the page.
Wow.
I'll continue. With the email, not with the thoughts coming out of my head.
Okay.
Unit. I was happy to see Unit, an old classic staple of the show, and yet it wasn't the same. This was a bunch of expert and officers from Unit that had ended up being killed by the Slitheen. Once they had died, that was pretty much it. To me, it seemed that they were there just to drop the name to tie into the classic series. Unit was far better handled in the Suntaran two-parter. The Slitheen. Boiled down to the basic elements. The Slitheen are green, alien menaces. Cunning, calculative, and great planners. Maybe they should do the Olympia opening ceremony. Add to this some high alien tech, and you've got a great adversary. What could possibly go wrong? Add some farts, a zipper, which I'm going to re-say as a zip, and the way to the series, serial, zip, zipper, let's not go there. And the way the aliens behave, and you
leave
can
my
see
zip out of this.
It was aimed at. It was all aimed at children. There is nothing wrong with this, but I feel they went too childish with the Slitheen, and any serious tone of the story was washed away. Overall, this two-part story was a moment the show seemed to stumble and fall short of what it could have achieved. As for the next story, Dalek, I will have to hold off on praise for next week, as this email has gone on far enough. Until next time, keep up the great work. P.S. I have used spell check and read this aloud to myself. P.S. P.S. When's Ben coming back? He reads it on the show, and I really miss his dulcet tones when I'm listening right now. I also think he's a wonderful fella, and do suggest everyone who listens to the podcast to send him as much money as they can possibly afford, as he is a right good fella. Lots of love, Richard Culp. I may have added in a bit there. I'm not sure.
A bit?
Yeah. I've got to say, actually, in response, I've got to say, I hate people who start talking like that. I've got to say, say it. If you're speaking, you don't have to tell me you want to say something because you're already saying something.
Yeah. I hate the way people say, I've got to say no offence, and then they go ahead and offend you anyway.
Yeah.
How about this? the ones where they say, when they're writing a letter, I'm writing this letter to let you know, well, you know you've written it.
I know
it.
You
but
are!
You've written it, haven't you? So you're not writing it.
I'm writing this letter with no offence, but you're written
up.
Anyway, I must say...
Before you go on, you said about the no offence, but it's like people saying, I'm not a racist, but...
I hate
right.
Yeah. Well, I heard that coming out of... No, I won't go with that any further.
Beg your pardon?
Because, yeah.
Richard did go on to for a further email. He just says, I was slightly embarrassed at how poorly my sentences came out, even though I could use the excuse of it was last minute Saturday. I am not going to use it. I still had time to read it over. Sadly, I don't own a Type 40 to fix these things. Glad I gave you a good laugh. Yes, that's basically because I'd send that. I really enjoyed the email he sent, basically. I thought it was a really good email.
Because I know for a fact that he doesn't own a Type 40, but he has got quite a new Type 65 knocking around in his shed, which, is, as we all know, was a little bit better.
Yeah, indeed. Magic, anyway, shut up.
What I was going to point out in response to this email is I thought, because obviously I wasn't here last week. I don't know if you missed me.
Oh, we had a brilliant time, didn't we?
I think you probably did. I noticed that in my week of absence, obviously, our podcast didn't go up in the ratings.
Did
we'll
not?
Come to that a little bit later. it was funny because I was thinking exactly the same thing about what he said about how this one was just so aimed towards children. And I just thought, wow, when I read that, I thought that could have been
I'd forgotten Russell T. Davis had written this until I saw his name in the title. I'd say it's probably one of his. Well, on the whole, it was quite a good story, but it's just the Slovene. No, I think they should have just been in that story, and that was it, really. Apart from the one.
Well, it was just a fact. It was such. You know, this is why sometimes I think people might think that Doctor Who is a children's program because it's episodes like this which were. And, you know, it wasn't a bad episode. It wasn't great Doctor Who, but it was good children's Doctor Who. If you see what I mean.
Can I interrupt you? Because something very important has just happened.
You can't interrupt me.
Robert Haynes has just liked my photo on Facebook.
He's just commented on something on my page.
And I've just had a glow of happiness come through me there.
I know, he's...
He's back!
Robert's better!
Yay!
I've got some bad news, however. England have just lost another wicket.
Wicket in the cricket. Yes,
we lost another wicket in the
bubble has well and truly burst there, isn't it?
And we had some sort of big football game yesterday. I didn't
pay attention. I stayed up and watched that.
I didn't. I don't care.
I watched the American Soccer Bowl, whatever it's called, the World Cup of America. I love the way you do that. World champions. You're not world champions. It's champions of America in a game that no one else plays.
Or watches.
No one else likes.
Anyway, there was another bit of feedback that Rhys has from our good friend, especially a good friend of Alicia, much to her embarrassment. It's Mr. M.
Yes, it is. So he says, hello, it's Mr. M again. And so another week, another review, and another 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
And another person asking who Mr. M is.
So, Dalek. I assume he means another Dalek. I never knew the Daleks like...
Dalek.
Hang on. Magic, will you shut up?
I thought that was you spilling your tea.
Sorry.
I never knew Daleks like to sunbathe. I think it means bathe. Would have helped a lot before. Would it? Okay. Van Staten is a great character. I think it means character.
Yes.
And Sop is... The Ninth Doctor. So is the Ninth Doctor, I take it. Adam is a... Oh, the character. Adam is a... And the Dalek...
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm totally and utterly, you know, gutted.
No offence, Adam.
I don't know what to say. Sorry.
It's okay. I'll be over there to tap you on the back in a few weeks.
Tap me on the back.
How are you coming back in time?
I'm using Richard's Type 65.
Don't forget to press the green button, not the blue one. You know what happens if you press the blue one?
You don't want to know.
People keep on interrupting when you try and read an email.
Yeah. Oh, wait, that's already happening. Somebody must have accidentally pressed it.
No, I've gone forward in time now.
Oh, you're next to me. Hello.
Don't touch me there.
Ew.
Ooh, actually, you can. I quite like that.
Moving
on. Get on with it.
And the Dalek has emotions.
Oh!
Okay.
I didn't know it did that.
The only problem I have with the story, sit, I think he means is, not si, is that an evil... I can't even read that. Oh, all destroying. It's ald-estroying. You press space after we're supposed to.
It's funny that Richard talks about proofreading his emails before sending advice that maybe Mr. M might.
I think there's lots of.
But they wouldn't be the same. Mr. M's emails would not be the same if they didn't come across like this.
No, we wouldn't have as much fun reading them, would we?
No.
The only problem I have with the story is that an all-destroying race of creatures would have inbuilt a self-destruct system. And yes, some people's cans A, I think people can say that it's because of in case they get emotions and on something like that. But Daleks are just so... I'm lost. Do you have a copy of it?
Yes, it says, but
seriously,
the Daleks...
Reece, I've got to ask if you're all right, mate, because you sound like you've had a stroke.
Yeah, the Daleks are just naive, so naive that they would think about these. It's funny how he gets the word naive. I'm not quite sure that's spelled correctly, actually. But anyway.
No, I was going to say naive.
It's like naive, actually.
Yes.
That they would think about these things anyway, 9 out of 10.
Can we send a copy of this to Ben to show him why I sound like I've had a stroke?
You never send me any.
Oh, sorry, Kirby. Oh, well, I'll have to rectify that.
It wasn't the reading, mate. It was just your accent.
Guys, excuse me for a few minutes. Guys, step away for a few. So, carry on.
Yes. The next bit, he says snow.
Snow. There's a lot of it here. No school.
Oh, that's why he's sending me emails in the middle of the day. I was wondering why.
You've got snow in Australia.
Mr. M. He's in the United Kingdom somewhere, snowy.
Mind you, we've had snow here, where I live. Yeah.
Have you? Really? We've got snow outside our window at the moment.
We haven't. Don't get snow on the Isle of Wight. Just get slush. Anyway.
Alicia requested to see a picture. I think it means picture of me. Well, simply look at my Facebook. BC Moore. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So will she mayor me now? I think that's supposed to be marry.
Yeah.
Even though it's without your consent. Desperately is he...
Well, I could give a long answer and a short answer to that. Both of them would be in the negative.
Finishing the words have her.
Desperately seeking Alicia, a.k.a. Mr. M. P.S. Keep voting.
And that's in relation to the award that Ben wants to win.
Yes. Yeah. And there are lots of E's after that, too.
Yeah. What award's that?
The podcasting award things.
Have I won it yet?
I think the votes are continuing till March.
I've lost interest now, then.
Yeah.
I've only got a short memory span. I'm like an American. No offence.
Anyway.
Maybe he's not here.
You're thinking about them in George Bush, isn't it? Really is. Anyway.
No, I was just talking about Americans in general always have sports which go on for 8 seconds and then stop because they have a memory span. What went on?
We can't have a 45 minute Super Bowl final that was on last night. Was that what you were referring to?
Well, it's not just that. It's all American sports when you think about it. Baseball, you have three innings and then you have a break. Or three
That's
outs.
That's the TV advert, surely.
And then you have a break. And then they have another three innings and then a break. And after seven and a half of that, then they have a song. Because they have got no attention span whatsoever.
You're talking about the Super Bowl final, aren't you?
Well, I watched that last night, and it was a late finish.
Anyway, Ian Kirk sent him some feedback in more relation to this show rather than to Louise Jameson, and it went something like this.
Hello, Tooting My Right Podcast. This is Ian Kirk. Please be seated.
I am.
Dalek. This episode is set in the USA, although it was filmed in Wales. We have a map of the USA showing where the Dalek is drawing power from, and we have a US flag in an office. The episode makes the Doctor at least as alien as the Dalek. Filling the place with concrete at the end seems a bit extreme. If they are going to bury all the alien technology, it will hide it from the people of Earth. When Christopher Eccleston's character was being tortured by a laser, it reminded me of Vengeance on Varos, where Jason Connery's character has been tortured by a laser.
Yes, indeed.
I wonder who the special guest planned for the 100th episode of the 20 Megabyte podcast is. It cannot be Martin Clunes.
No.
But if it was, it would allow Adam to use his catchphrase,
Stop flapping your ears. Bye for now.
Yes, fortunately, only Star has flapped her ears so far today. And thank you, Star.
I'm doing mine now. I'm flapping mine now.
Ear flappings. And before we crack on with our look into the said episode, Dalek. Ben, would you like to impart the top 20 Doctor Who podcasts? And why have we only got 20 in podcasts this week? Because there was only 27 released during the week. So, Ben, over to you.
Could we not have had a top 25 then?
Get a top 27. I can enlighten you as to what was, you know, the podcasts. No, I can't, because that means I have to open up a file and slow down my recording. No, it'll be top 20.
Okay, hold on a minute. All I need to do is find my T-shirt and put that on. I'll be cold.
On the table. Why do you need a T-shirt?
Well, because if you don't you put T-shirts on under... Don't put T-shirts on under jumpers, then you kind of get a bit cold because you haven't got a T-shirt.
Oh, okay.
Right.
I've still got my towel on my head, so you'd be lucky I haven't done that yet. And now, actually, I've now got to put a jumper on because it is quite cold today. So... And I can't read and put jumpers on at the same time, so hence the manic filling. Right. Oh, I love it!
No, sorry, I can't play that. Either. I'll dub it over later.
Keep going!
I'll dub it over later. Be quiet.
Okay. At 20. Oh, no, see, I've got it in my head now.
Good.
Dum, 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 dum.
I don't know what you heard in Australia, but that was nothing like.
Anyway, okay. Carry on.
The top 20. At 20, up 4 for Earth Station 1. At 19, up 4 for Cultum Collective. And I've just realised that.
What's so funny?
Number 20 and number 19 have both gone up 4 from positions that don't actually.
Shut up.
Oh, okay.
At 18, it's a re entry for the. Penis.
Hello.
The DWO Torchcast. And at 16, it's up 3 for Travelling the Vortex. I know people were waiting all around the podcast, either of them, for the rest of that statement.
No.
At 15, it's a re-entry for Bigger on the Inside. That's what she said. At 14, it's up 1 for 2 Minute Time Lord. That's what she said. At 13, the re-entry for TARDIS Tavern. And at
that's what
12,
she... Oh.
That's and at number 12, a non-mover for Doctor Who. Who's he?
That's what she said. Oh.
At 11, it's a re-entry for the Second Doctor's podcast. And at 10, a re-entry for Staggering Stories. At number 9, up 2 for the Pharos Project. And at number 8, a re-entry for the Doctor Who cast. And at number 7... A non-mover for the Ben Light Doctor Who podcast. There has to be one in every series, you see. At number 6, just the companions this week. At number 6, down 1 for Impossible Podcasts. And at number 5, a re-entry for the Oodcast. Number 4 is down 1 for the DWO.
They've been gone for a while, I think.
Well, they had a show out a couple of weeks ago.
And at number 3, falling 2 places from last week's number 1, it's Radio Scaru. Number 2, a non-mover for the Doctor Who podcast. And at number 1, a re-entry for Doctor Who Podshock.
Hey!
Oh, I'm a little disappointed again that I have just spent the last 3 minutes talking about 19 other podcasts I have no interest in. So, oh, God, that's another wicket when I was reading them out.
Dearie me. So, anyway, yes.
Be careful with those wickets.
Pardon?
Never mind,
yes. Right. Doctor Who, right. We had a story this week, which was called Dalek. Clue in the title,
it was called
there.
Jubilee.
No, well, it was sort of based on Jubilee, wasn't it? But was Jubilee written by the same writer?
Was coming.
Was it?
That's what she said.
Hello? Was it written by the same writer?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so the Doctor and Rose arrive in a... museum of sorts, which is a slightly darker lit museum than like the one that the 11th Doctor and Amy were sort of looking around in the Weeping Angel story, series 5.
By the way, that's past, present, flashback, interrogation, future thing.
That's the same. That's good old Cardiff Museum. I think that's the first time it showed up.
really. But anyway, I'm just thinking of the artifacts that they show on it. So obviously, the only one I recognise, apart from the sort of vein hand, is the Cyberman head. It's got the guns in its head, so it's obviously a revenge of the Cyberman head. But didn't those Cybermen have black sort of things, you know?
No, that was only the Cyber Leader who had the black one, wasn't it?
Oh, was it?
Oh, sake, Adam, come on, keep up.
I'm just seeing if
you call yourself a fan.
I'm just seeing. Did they have the little tear, little ducts on there?
Yeah,
they did. So it is accurate then.
Well, I don't know. I can't look at a particular Cyberman and tell from which.
But that is the sign of a pedant to be able to do that.
I know, but I haven't taken the time to do that yet. Maybe I should. I'll make that my next project.
Well, a bit late by then, surely.
Invasion of the Cybermen, Episode 3, and it was worn by a bloke called Jeff Watt, who was Cyberman 2
in the series.
And he ended up by getting an arrow in the eye and dying. As for what happened to the Cyberman, I've got no idea.
Anyway, but there was a reflection in one of the sort of exhibit box thingamajigs of what looked like one of those hemophore things that came out of the lake in The Curse of Fenric. Was I correct in no?
There's something in the case directly behind them, but I believe it's a supposed to be kind of a Silurian.
Oh.
I don't know. I saw something somewhere
it
about
it. It looked like
that.
It more like the hemophore thing that came out of the lake in The Curse of Fenric, which is obviously a story we reviewed not so long ago. And of course, we're introduced to the character of Adam. Obviously, that's the person that Mr. Ember was referring to as being a t-. I hope it was.
Oh,
anyway.
Wasn't you? Oh.
I hope it was, at least.
That's not how I heard it.
Thank you. That's not how I read it initially either.
That's what she said.
Just said Adam is a. I was reading down the thing and there it was. Adam is a. Oh, well, thank you very much.
The only thing from the whole email that read properly was that one sentence.
I thought initially, well, someone's being a bit honest about the podcast. Well, don't listen to it if you don't. Anyway, that's carry on. So.
Don't tell people not to listen. We need all of our eight.
No, I said shut up. I said don't listen to it. Do you think the presenter is, one of them?
Foolish.
I tell you, I'm being slightly sidetracked here because there's lots of little messages popping up about the return of Robert to Facebook, which is rather nice. Everybody's saying how happy they are, which is lovely.
I'm not happy. We've lost another wicket.
Alan T. Butcher, look at that. It's all coming together like a well-oiled machine. I did a review on iTunes, by the way. Oh, did you? I'll have to look at that. Hello, Robert. Good to see you there. Best wishes. There we go. So I'm sure he read that himself anyway, but it's just nice to see all these little things starting. Oh, for God's sake, who's that?
Whoa.
Oh, gosh. Hello?
Old who?
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello?
Not today, thank you. Not today.
Hello?
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 Grief. Yellow Pages phoning me up. Stupid timing.
right.
Is that the Yellow Pages of the Isle of Wight?
Shut up. No, that's called
White
Bay.
White Pages.
No, White Bay. That's called White Bay. There's a company online called White Bay.
And it would be more of a pamphlet than a book, wouldn't it?
It's quite a thin telephone directory, but only because most of the people in the Isle of Wight have left BT and have gone on to other telephone providers. But can we talk about Doctor Who, please?
I would like to do that very much.
Yes. I'd rather
Van Staten.
Like to be able to fight a bit more.
Van Staten, what a slimy character he is.
I wouldn't know.
Why wouldn't you know? He's on this episode of Doctor Who.
Haven't you seen this episode?
Who, Reese?
I know, I was making a joke, though. You have to think about it. Anyway, moving on.
Hold on.
We've been through this before. If you're going to do jokes, you have to make them funny.
I thought I had my hand up when I made them.
you have to put your hand up and also make your thingy flash on Skype. So we
don't make any thingies flash on Skype, otherwise we'll get into trouble. Oh, sorry, I thought you meant... Yeah, okay, moving back to the episode. Obviously,
Adam, the same applies to you there, mate.
Shush. Obviously, Van Staten, they're very quick to discover that the Doctor is an expert on alien races, as he was, obviously, in the previous story. And he's invited, rather forcefully, to go and investigate this live specimen they have in their vault, I suppose you'd call it, really. So he goes in. And then, obviously, there's a very iconic scene that follows in which it's just him and this sort of darkly lit creature.
And just a fantastic scene. I wish that we had had the Ninth Doctor, Chris Eccleston, longer.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
I agree.
He was so great.
Yeah.
That's what I keep saying, yeah.
The scene was, you know, where he walks in and he says, I'm the Doctor, I'm here to help you. And then he realises it's a Doctor and he goes all scaredy cat.
Look on his face.
Let me out. Just... And then he suddenly starts laughing when he... realizing
like you.
the Dalek can't do anything.
Mm.
And then follows this fantastic scene. Even as he says, fantastic, fantastic.
I don't think he sounds like that. Well, I think for me that was the first time I'd seen an actual Dalek in Doctor Who. So seeing the Doctor be terrified of it was, yeah. I'd only seen a handful of Tom Baker episodes repeated on the ABC. Tom Baker. Yes, Baker. And this was the first Dalek story I'd seen, and I still think it's possibly the best Dalek story I've seen. And
it was the best Dalek story Christopher Eccleston did.
Indeed. I don't think it was the only one, because there were more.
No.
I think it's close to being the best Dalek story ever, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's definitely out of New Who.
Yeah.
I just thought, I'd heard all about the Daleks being really freaky, and they were back then for me being about 11 years old when this was broadcast, so I was pretty frightened. And then having the Doctor, who's supposed to be the hero, the person who doesn't get scared, be absolutely terrified at first, and then he starts laughing, of this creature... made it even scarier, and I take my hat off to that scene for having that effect on me.
There's another element to the scene where they're having a conversation, and both the Doctor and the Dalek realise that they are quite similar in the fact that they're the last of their kind.
Mm.
And obviously,
I think that was the whole idea of the episode, actually.
Yeah. No, it's just the realisation in the Doctor, and he just keeps on trying to deny that they are the same, because obviously you get later on in the episode the Dalek saying you would make a good Dalek.
You would make a good another Dalek.
Line from the new era of Doctor Who. But wasn't
you would make a good Dalek.
But when we first saw, this is the first time we're waiting to see the Dalek, obviously you knew the story was called Dalek, you knew there was going to be see little clips of it, but you know the sort of rush.
It's a bit like the robots of death, and they try and build up a mystery on who the murderers are.
Mm. But we actually got to see the Dalek itself, because obviously it was a big build-up to it, because the Sun newspaper made out that they were the ones that, you know, brought them back. But when we actually got to see the Dalek on TV, you know, and hear it speak in that way that Nicholas Briggs brought to life, and that blue light in its eyepiece. And there were so many other elements we'd get to see later on in the episode, but it was just such a buzz. And this episode, I think, apart from Rose, is the one that we as a family have watched the most. Because I remember Alicia just wanted to watch this over and over again when she was little, when obviously we recorded it off the telly, and it just got repeated and repeated and read it, because it was so good. It was so rewatchable. It's absolutely fantastic.
Nick Briggs was saying in the commentary that they, on that first day, they were having problems with his
ring modulator.
Because it was in the a lot of the other things to manipulate the eye stalk and stuff were interfering.
Oh.
And so they finally worked out something. They were saying
something's interfering.
What is that
now?
Noise?
What is that?
I don't know.
Ed?
I dread to think. Anyway, of course, obviously, after that excitement, we have this sort of padding out scene between Adam and Rose, where they have a little bit of sort of geeky flirting, a bit stomach churning. But also, this episode's set in the year 2000, which is 2012. Sorry, which is, you know, obviously topical at the moment.
Why?
I can't remember.
Why?
But.
Yeah.
How do you think they represent it? Now we are in 2012. This was made 7 years ago. How do you think they did with their representation of now? I know it's now been rewritten, but it's still technically now.
What in exactly in there makes it special for 2012?
I don't know. It's interesting.
I think that was a clever thing. Yeah. They just set it in a base with all this alien technology, so they had future stuff as well.
Mm-hmm.
And alien stuff, and they just had it all enclosed, so they didn't include any.
So they could just use the future stuff and make out that it was for far future rather than 2012.
Well, they did have Stadden talk about replacing the president, and Rose was amazed by the fact that she would be how old?
Yeah, 24. I can't remember what she said now.
I like the hoverboards and the DeLorean. They were good in the future.
Was that 2012 as well?
That's 2025,
wasn't it? Was it?
No, it wasn't. It was 20.
Never mind.
95, 2000. No, it was 2015 in Back to the Future.
Well, Adam has a Skype
whatever
link.
Whatever it was 2000 and in certain.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, Adam has a Skype link to the Dalek cell where he sees the Dalek getting tortured. So Rose, of course, is totally disgusted by this and heads down to stop it all. Sorry?
That's
chips with Rose, isn't it? So she's obsessed with chips.
Give me chips. I want chips.
What were you just doing, Ben?
So, yes, Van Staten realises that the Doctor is alien. And thinks, live alien specimen. Let's blast him with a.
Never mind the other live one we have. Let's look at this new one.
Yeah. Of course, then we see that little graphic of the just that shows his hearts, which is quite interesting. I'll just say this is the first time that it was indicated again in the new series that the Doctor had two hearts, or Time Lords had two hearts.
That was the author was told to put that in to establish that he had two hearts.
Just nipping out. I'm just nipping out.
All right, we can talk about Ben now, right then.
The way you talked about me when I went out for a second.
Did you hear that?
We didn't talk about you, we just talked about Americans.
Yeah.
In general, yes.
that's one thing about all this particular episode with all the stereotypical Americans. Very interesting.
Mind you, I'd be very worried if they filmed in Australia because I wonder how stereotypical they'd go then.
Well, the trouble is, right, in this country, not so much now, but in times gone by, the only Americans we'd ever see are the ones we saw on television represented in US dramas. And obviously, I'll imagine the only British people Americans saw are the ones represented in British dramas and stuff. And unfortunately, not very real. But now, obviously, with the dawn of... You know, things like YouTube and stuff, when you see real people and, you know, people's views and that side of things have changed. But yes.
No chance, mate. Stereotypical styles are still exactly the same as the images we had before. Anyway, I'm going.
Oh, yeah?
What?
Okay.
Probably stepping out for a cigarette.
Oh, I see. But anyway, yes, Rose goes down to have a chat, a little heart-to-heart with the Dalek. Has the Dalek got a heart? But nevertheless, they do have a heart-to-heart.
It might.
And she obviously feels sorry for it.
There's a pulse. Yeah. There must be a heart.
Maybe so. But yeah, so yes, this is a bit...
I like the way he brushed
over.
I don't quite know what
the Dalek's thinking of here, you know, if it's in character at this point. I do like the fact that this Dalek is an individual and it's, you know, it's got some sort of mind that it's, you know, considering its own existence, and it seems depressed. It seems like it's got an inevitability, but it's just clinging to the hope that something might happen to... I mean, it's just a bit weird that when Rose touches its top bit... Adam waits until she's just there, about to touch it before he says Rose no, which is a bit annoying, but obviously it's a plot element, so it had to happen.
It's a bit like in the Doctor, the Widow, and the Wardrobe, where they did a close-up on the big tree king and he turned around in that very pantomimish way. It's just a very TV thing to do.
Yeah. But also, the bit where he says, what are you going to do, sucker me to death? And that was a brilliant shot. I really enjoyed and really loved when I watched it that the Dalek did actually use its sink plunger to actually good effect. But I don't know why it hadn't used it before, because I'm sure that somebody would have got close enough to him, to the Dalek, to actually, so it could use its sink plunger, because they change it up. So somebody must have got pretty close to it at some point. Because the Dalek didn't get any power from Rose, did it? It just sort of got, I don't know, what did it get from Rose? A bit of DNA?
Yeah.
But nonetheless, it was enough to help it to escape and use its little sink plunger to enter in millions of different codes to get it out. And of course, they're all shooting at it, and it doesn't shoot back because it hasn't got any power yet. But that was brilliant, Simon. I'm just watching it back at the moment. There's just so many good things on this episode. Anyway, sorry, yes.
Silence does not work on a podcast.
No, don't
sorry.
Worry, I'll just edit the silence out. But, yeah. So, it's all Rose's fault, basically, that the Dalek has suddenly gained a bit of ability to get around. It plumps itself into some electrics, which then recharges itself and its energies. And we see those sort of shots.
It can power itself off of American voltage.
Yeah, but then you see the bullets sort of evaporate as they're flying towards it, which they used again, I think, in a Tenet story, wasn't it? The Stolen Earth, was it? I think they used that again when the Dalek was holding up Torchwood.
Oh, yeah.
And there we see some brilliant shots of
the special effects guy from the mill said that they did that so that they wouldn't have to do too many special effects of bullets hitting it.
Yeah. Very good idea. But then, of course, the innovative thing about this is the middle part of the Dalek and the top part rotating. This is the first time we see it in this particular scene.
The toys used to do that.
Yeah. And it makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah. Now, that was a completely CGI Dalek.
Yeah, but it really did work and really did make sense that the Dalek should have that middle section rotating as it did. And it was a new thing, you thought, well, it worked so well that you can imagine that all Daleks really had that, even though you never got to see it because, you know, obviously in that time the BBC couldn't, you know, recreate that particular aspect of it. But, so they come to the stairs, obviously, and then we got the, but the thing about this, they're sort of illustrating.
The remembrance moment.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a gloat. Let's stand here and gloat at the Dalek that can still point its gun upwards anyway and still shoot me, but I'll just have a quick gloat. But the Daleks have already elevated. Because Belisha said to me, is that the first time Daleks have flown in Doctor Who? Well, no. Remembrance of the Daleks was the first time we actually properly saw one. Yeah, sorry, I was too busy rambling to hear what you were saying. Do apologise.
Pay attention.
Sorry, I'm just going.
I had not seen Remembrance of the Daleks when I saw this story.
Yeah.
So it was a surprise to me that no one had thought about that.
But it was illustrated better in this story than it was in Remembrance of the Daleks. But I still think that in Remembrance they did do a particularly good job. Wasn't there like a blue glow under the Dalek in Remembrance? And they've kept that.
Yeah.
I thought it was more orange.
Was it?
You're probably right. I just remember it.
Room and get the DVD.
No, I can't be bothered. It's under a pile of boxes.
No, I could get mine.
Oh, you could. Oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But anyway, Van Saturn has arranged for some security troops to corner the Dalek. So they're all lined up. Rose and Adam sort of run out and they say, ceasefire, hold up, get the hell out of here. So they get the hell out of there while the Dalek is sort of trundling along. And isn't it the bit where the bloke says to Van Staten, I think I know how to deal with a tin something or other. I can't remember now the actual words he used.
Pepper pot.
Oh, Ben's back.
I'll be back for several seconds.
And you know, obviously, you knew he was going to get done in anyway, but, yeah.
He knew he was going to get done in.
Well, you knew the Dalek was going to kill every soldier in sight, but the fact that the sort of leader of the soldiers would come up with a line like that, rather like the Titanic is a ship that can't sink, and the yeah. Costa Concordia is quite safe going in shallow waters.
Adam, that's all.
The Dalek shoots some water main from above, I believe, and soaks everything. And I quite like that.
The fire
thing we drinks. Yeah, the water things from above. That's what I said.
No, but it somehow it sets them off by shooting the fire alarm box on the wall.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that would work. But
maybe so. But I like when the water was hitting the Dalek, I quite liked the way the water looked on the Dalek. I thought that, because it made it look like it was proper waterproof.
Get a room.
No?
Nothing.
But anyway, yes, so he uses the conductivity of water to execute all the soldiers with one blast.
Very clever.
Very clever indeed. Van Staten starting to realise that maybe he needs the help of the Doctor.
Of who?
The Doctor, you know, the chap with a sort of short hair and a northern accent. And then we come to this bit. Well, how does the Dalek end up with Rose? And initially it's chasing Rose and Adam. And isn't it that Adam gets through this door and leaves Rose stuck behind it? So the Doctor shuts off. Yeah, that's right.
On 446.
Yeah. So,
not 42.
Pardon?
No, it says 46. Look at it.
For goodness sake. So,
no,
yes.
I was just agreeing, saying not 42, that's all.
Because obviously with Rose trapped, the Dalek is also trapped, so the Doctor has to make a decision to, well, leave Rose stuck in with the Dalek.
You actually think for a minute there that the Dalek has shot Rose.
Yeah, that's the point. So I'm going to say he had to make that decision to leave Rose, to basically sacrifice Rose for the sake of, you know, trapping the Dalek. Which, again, that was quite a good scene, wasn't it? You know, the way it was played from both of them.
Yeah.
Another example of Billy Piper, you know, raising her game and her status as an actress. You know, because I remember when it was announced that she was the companion, it was, oh, God, it's like a teenage pop star. She's not going to be any good. A bit like the reaction when Catherine Tate was told to
announce. And everyone was proven wrong.
Do you?
Well,
I wouldn't say Billy Piper was a known actress when she got the part of Rose.
No, I wouldn't say she was a known actress, but I didn't think people would say, oh, she's a pop star, she'll be rubbish.
No, I remember people saying, oh, God, you know, she might not be any good. They would have preferred a better known actress to have the part. But I mean, I'm not complaining because I think she was brilliant, but I remember there were doubts.
I don't recall any doubts. Well, I think people just said, ooh, Billy Piper.
Well, I had never heard of her before the show, so I had no preconception.
Well, I will say that from the Doctor Who fraternity that I was encircled in at that particular time, there were people who were sort of a bit disappointed that it wasn't somebody they'd heard of and, you know, they could trust in the role. But as I say,
Doctor Who fraternity, that you mean you won't allow women?
The fan.
That's why they were against Billy Piper.
That's right.
That's what she said.
Anyway, but she proved everybody wrong. She proved her doubters wrong. But basically, the Dalek can't bring itself to kill Rose. But we do get the scene where it goes exterminate. And obviously, the Doctor sort of looks...
Really? A Dalek said exterminate?
That's unusual, isn't it?
Never.
Is that their new catchphrase?
They're going into the pest control business.
Maybe. There was also lots of rats running around where they, when they set the fire alarms up and executed everyone. Executed? That's kind of the wrong word. That's not really. When they killed all the people with the electrocuting them with the water. Maybe there were rats there as well. And so he was just, that Dalek was actually doing them a favour by exterminating all of the vermin.
Anyway,
basically
we're coming back to the fact that the Dalek couldn't bring itself to kill Rose. But initially we think Rose is killed because you hear the Dalek say its catchphrase and then hear the guns go off and the Doctor thinks that Rose is dead.
Kill Rose.
But then the Dalek comes back onto the intercom and says, I want to speak to the Doctor, or Rose dies, or something, or let us out, or Rose dies. And the Doctor says, I've killed her once, or something like that, I'm not going to kill her again, or something, or words to that effect. And then the Dalek and Rose head towards Van Staten. You think at this point that's the end of Van Staten, but Rose persuades the Dalek not to kill him.
Why? I want to know why.
Yeah, I don't know why. Maybe because they were thinking of bringing Van Staten back as a character later on. Mm. I don't know.
One nice thing rewatching this was seeing all the little glances at that Goddard, that's the assistant to Van Staten.
Oh yes.
As she looks over at him, you can see her figuring out how to pull out her little coup.
Yeah. Oh yeah!
Now that you know
good,
that
like
she's
glance
doing...
acting.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the Doctor then finds a weapon and he gets all tooled up, which is undoctor like. Oh, but obviously
he finds the weapon by going through Adam's stash.
Because we did see the weapons earlier on, didn't we?
Yeah. He goes broken.
Yeah.
Broken.
Hair dryer. meanwhile, the Dalek sort of. opens up the sort of something in the roof that allows sunlight to get through onto his gorgeous body. And the Doctor arrives to get out of the way, Rose, he's going to kill it. But this is a bit like the scene where the Doctor's going to kill Davros in the resurrection of the Daleks thing. But slightly better played by Eccleston in this instance. And you can see that from this, obviously, he's still war battle scarred, isn't he? Because he's still got that element to him that he's willing to wield a gun. But this is an excellent scene, this.
I think they did an excellent job on the Dalek creature.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And all the drips and stuff. And I'm glad that they did this right away.
Yeah.
Because to
illustrate that it was an organic organism inside it, yeah.
So many people think that they're robots.
Yeah. No, you're right. Totally right with that one. But the Dalek then asks or gets Rose to order it to kill itself, basically. And I love the way, because I said to Alicia, the way Rose goes, do it, that's exactly the words Alicia would use when we threaten. If she's been a bit naughty, which she does occasionally forget, you may be surprised to hear. I would say, right, so you're having your phone taken away, do it! So it's because obviously.
What you should do at that point, mate, is when. When you say we're going to take your phone away, she goes, do it. You should take it off her and stamp on it.
Yeah, but who then will have to pay for it to get fixed?
Not you, because she's been a naughty little girl and she doesn't deserve a phone if she's been naughty.
Yeah, she gets like this. There's a programme that I saw about teenagers and their moods and stuff. James May's programme is very interesting. It does rather illustrate why younger teenagers, Reece, sorry, get a bit moody. Awkward. So basically that's it, the Dalek. What about the scene where the Dalek does in fact self-destruct? How superb was that, even at the time?
Yeah.
Watching it back again, obviously it is CGI'd, we can tell that, but it just looks so clever. Because the balls have come out, you know, that circled in that little ball. The balls
have
come out. You just can't trust you lot to not dive into the innuendo channel just because Ben's back.
I know, I'm trying to live up to the level.
That's what she said.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, also the other thing we've seen is the way the Dalek opens up. I've got the toy version of this. It opens up exactly the same way. It's such a brilliant new selling point for the Dalek, isn't it? Yeah, so the balls come out, go into a little circular thing. I mean, what can you call them? The globes? Balls? I don't know. But it implodes.
Spheres.
Okay, spheres. Grief. Anyway. It was an excellent way for its destruction, and probably the least explosive, because it was an implosion.
Mm.
Yes, and this is when, of course, after that, you get your coup. Van Straten gets taken away.
Oh, lovely!
But where was
San Diego, Seattle, Sacramento?
Yeah,
someplace beginning with S.
And if they're going to seal the place off with cement, they're going to need a hell of a lot of cement to do so, surely.
I know.
Yeah, but. The fact that they didn't kill Van Straten.
Maybe they'll have a cement in the future.
Yeah, maybe so. But the fact that they didn't kill off Van Straten, and we're now in 2012, don't you think it'd be nice to bring him back somehow?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay, that's only a suggestion. But then there's at this point that we have the awful scene where Adam enters the TARDIS, and the Doctor is rather like the audience in this instance, be it on your head, Rose, sort of thing. You know? Yes, I was a bit dismayed, actually, when I remember at the time that the worst part of the episode was when Adam actually joined. It was a little bit like Adric joining. He was the new Adric, wasn't he? Really?
No, his name wasn't Adric.
I got the first two letters are the same, for goodness sake, you pedantic so-and-sos. So, yes, that's it. That was Dalek, in essence.
Yes, it was.
And a fine, fine piece of television.
Fine.
Fine.
Yeah. Did you actually watch this one, Ben, for review, or do you just remember it off the top of your head?
No, I was watching the Super Bowl last night, so
I had to remember it off the top of my head because we had some unexpected visitors call in today.
Oh, that's
when I was going to watch it.
Was it Kylie and Jason?
No.
Oh. Okay.
Surprisingly enough.
Yeah, so
was it Craig McLaughlin and Check 1 2?
No.
Was it Skippy?
Stephen
What's
Dennis.
That, Skippy? Just been round Reese's house.
Oh, dear.
You've just been round Reese's house and he touched you where?
Oh, God.
That's what she said.
Went to Ben's house at the same time?
Anyway.
How would you do that? Is it some sort of augmentation of time travel?
So please allow me to ask... what's his name? Kirby. That's the one.
Yep.
What he thought of this particular story.
Go on, ask him.
This is a brilliant story.
Mm.
I just love it.
Okay, thanks.
We'll move on. Nice. Good answer. Thanks
for me, the best individual episode of the series... I think it's better than Rose. Rose is a standalone, but that was an introductory episode. As a standalone story, this, for me, was the best of the first series of Doctor Who.
Good. Well, let me take a look at the list of stories for this.
My favourite two-parter is the last one. I think, Bad Wolf and Parting of the Ways are superb. I absolutely love that, especially, the build-up to the regeneration. The whole part... I mean, I quite like Big Brother, and I quite like that element of it. I love the little cameos that we have with Anne Robinson and stuff. Anyway, we'll talk about that later when we actually come to those episodes.
Father's Day is pretty darn good.
Oh, yeah, that's good. But I prefer this to Father's Day. I think this is just...
Yeah.
But I love
Father's
Day.
I'm much more likely to watch Dalek again than Father's Day. I think I've seen Father's Day twice.
It's very sentimental, Father's Day, but it has got timey-wimey elements. It is brilliant, but this is superb. I mean, to reinvent the Daleks, the most iconic things about Doctor Who, really, in such an amazing way, in such a successful way, it makes this outstanding.
Yep.
Yes.
Right, the last thing I want to talk about is, Reese, you've had rather exciting last few days. Would you like to tell us about it?
Oh, I have.
No, not, I mean, talk
about... Is it your birthday too?
The Doctor Who related part of it, I mean, obviously.
Quite. Also, I won't mention my audition then, okay.
Oh, that as well.
Did you get up on stage and sing a song like I did? Because I was a star.
Were you?
I was. Check it on YouTube.
Okay. Where would that be at?
YouTube.com.
No. What would the video be called?
I've got no idea.
Well, you said earlier on there was a search for it, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. But I don't know if it's on proper YouTube or... I don't know. I might put a link on it on the Doctor Who Megabyte 20 thing.
What did you say to search for?
You won't find it because I've just reread it and it's on a secret special...
Oh, well, that's just rubbish.
I'll put the link on our Facebook page at some point, then people can...
Oh, you're using Facebook again. That's nice.
Well, he went on there to look for his birthday messages.
Do you know I got 50?
Did you?
50 of my friends came on and said happy birthday to me on my birthday, which made it very nice. Considering so
Facebook is good for something.
Yeah, well, it was pleasing.
Yeah.
Thanks for everyone who did it, Kirby.
Anyway.
You're welcome.
Reese.
Yes.
your exciting week.
Kirby didn't.
Oh, my exciting week.
Yes.
Sorry.
Okay, well...
Happy birthday, then.
How was it every time Reese tries to speak? People just interrupt him all the time.
I know. It must be my voice.
Now, wait a second.
What?
go on, then. Tell us your story about you going to see this Doctor Who thing.
Yeah, go on.
I spoiled it.
No, you haven't.
It looked like they just picked up the proms and plunked
they
it down
did.
In Melbourne.
Oh,
they did.
Oh,
although
carry
they
on.
Called it the Symphonic Spectacular.
Yes. So go on, tell us all about it. What happened? I've seen pictures of you wearing a fez and a jacket and a bow tie. And...
Should have gotten a bigger fez.
Yes, you should have.
Didn't have time. You
that's
have to
what
order
she
it
said.
From overseas.
Go on.
Can
please.
I speak, please?
Please, please do.
Okay.
So, go on your own podcast.
Okay, I will. In fact, I have about the event.
No, I got it. You don't tell
now.
It on this one, do you?
Yes, he does. Shush.
Okay. So anyway, we went to this Doctor Who Symphonics thing, which is basically the proms, that was in England, but they decided to move to Australia and change the name so you'd understand what the name was. Is that right?
Yes. Quite
okay.
Succinct, actually.
And they played lots of music, and it was really good, and you were really impressed, and you took photos and put them on Facebook, yeah?
But there was other things. It was
yep.
just the how
that
did
is
the...
what I was going to say.
Go on, tell us about the day. Go on.
Okay. Mark Shepherd was absolutely fantastic at hosting it. He just...
Who's Mark Shepherd?
He played Canton in The Impossible Astronaut.
Impossible.
Yes. Yes. The Impossible
just an
Astronaut.
Impossible.
All right. I'm trying to help you out here.
Yeah, yeah I know.
Do you have a go at us for being Pinnacody and pedantic?
As the first Doctor Who fandom meeting I've been to, it was absolutely sensational. There were people dressed up everywhere. It was
for
absolutely
God's sake,
fantastic.
Man, continue.
He just did.
I'm
you just interrupted him again.
You're going to damn well talk. What are you tapping?
No.
What?
Just lost
another wicket.
He's gone.
Go ahead, tell us.
Yeah,
more.
Please, please. I'm on tenterhooks. We got past the breakfast bit, haven't we? And
yes.
About the
and getting dressed.
Yes.
And going to this thing and people talking. Yep.
I'd like to talk.
That's
now,
very
ben,
interesting.
So
I've been really looking forward to this, and Ben and Kirby are in ruining it for me.
I've been really looking forward to describing it, too.
That's what she said.
Describing what?
When do you stop flapping your ears?
Sorry.
It wasn't my ear.
Carry on.
Okay, I will. Can I carry on now, Ben?
Oh, please do.
That's what she said.
Please let me.
That's what she said.
That's also what she said. Anyway, can I kill Ben now? That's also what she... I give up.
Yes.
That's
no.
What she... ooh.
Robert's piped up on Facebook. Hang on. I've got the wrong machine. Carry on, sir. I'm just going to see if I'm
going
to. I'm just looking at pictures
you?
Of you, and then Robert decided to interrupt. Now, the bit
right.
I seem to remember you cutting up to is that it's the first Doctor Who event that you know, you've been to and how wonderful you felt that it was.
Yes, it was brilliant to be surrounded by people with the love for the same show that I have.
So how was it? How many people went to it?
Seven.
Well, there were definitely seven there, but I'm sure it was more than 2,000 people.
Good grief. Well, do they turn up to the right thing, or do they sort of...
Yeah, they turned up to the right thing, that's and right. You could tell because a lot of them were dressed up as the Doctor, and other people were saying, "Hi, Doctor, how are you?" And they even said that to me, which I found quite
So did anybody recognise you, and you said, "My name's Reed Parton from the..." And he'd list off about 300 podcasts. Did anybody sort of say, "I've heard of you"?
I only got halfway through the list, and they wandered off. Sadly, no, they didn't recognise me, but I recognised a video blogger that I've seen a couple of his videos before, and I said hello to him, which was quite fun. Whoever's flapping, could you please stop?
That's not, it's just star scratching yourself. Sorry, carry on.
Sorry.
I will. When we went into the concert hall, they had... three big screens with the Doctor Who logo on there, with the TARDIS light flashing over the DW part of it. And they also had the interior sound effects of the TARDIS playing.
Right.
So it sounded like you were in the TARDIS. And
but you were, of course.
Yes, we were. It seemed bigger on the inside, actually, because of the way it was designed, so it was pretty accurate. And we started off the day with a piece called The Madman in a Box. And then Mark Shepherd came on and pretty much entertained everyone with a few laughs and introduced the various pieces coming on after that. But he also said that Murray Gold was in the audience with us, which got us all very excited. And by the end of the show, Murray Gold actually came up on stage and played piano for the last two pieces that they played, which was the Song of Freedom and the theme tune for the show.
Excellent. Which is the
same thing he did at the proms.
Apparently, yes. And
you've seen that video, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
Excellent. So, is there going to be anything else coming back? You know, are they going to do another one, or is there going to be any more events you're going to be able to?
Well, before the day, they were saying this is a one-off thing, but given the fact it sold out for both performances they had, and
not going to be a one-off thing with two performances.
That's a fair point, but I think you know what I mean. It's only going, they're only going to do it one weekend, so to speak. But after the success that it was, I won't be surprised if they announce they're doing some more somewhere else.
Yeah.
And it'd be quite nice if they went to America for Kirby.
Yeah.
Oh, hopefully they will.
I doubt I'll ever see that.
No. But, I mean, when you said you were coming over to... I know you said you wanted to come over to the UK. I mean, is this actually something that's on the cards, or is it something you're just sort of, trying to...
It's just something I'd really like to do.
Well, if you do pop over, mate, I know that there's a bar job down at our local pub, which will probably take you in quite easily.
Okay.
Mm. Well, that's great. I mean, I'm looking forward... Obviously, you're going to be talking about it on your show in greater detail without interruptions. Mm.
Yes,
and if you friend Reese on Facebook, you can see some pictures. Only about three for some reason. Are you going to post some more? Oh, five. I do apologise. I've seen there's a picture of you standing next to somebody who's supposed to look like the tenth Doctor, and some little bloke, this little mini Cyberman person.
I know, that was so cute. He was just running around the room with people just pointing and smiling at him, and he just ran up to people and waved at them, which was. If you think about it, the Cyberman waving at you and not trying to delete you is quite an odd thing. But also, the event debuted some of the season or series, say what you'd like to say, but don't tell me which one you're using.
Yeah, fair enough.
Music. And it also had a silence in the room with us.
Yeah.
Although it wasn't using its powers, obviously, because I remembered it. Yeah. It wasn't using its mental powers, obviously. No.
But did you have an eye patch on at the time, or? Or did you close one eye? Can't you see him if you close one eye?
I'm not sure. They never actually experimented with that on the show, did they? And they also had the Apollo astronaut, actually, come out on stage.
Oh, right. Oh, cool.
And actually pointed its hand out towards one of the cellists like it did when it shot the Doctor, which was quite interesting. I wonder if they're going to do any kind of special effect to make it look like it shot one of the orchestra.
So were there any, apart from... Mark Shepherd, were there any other Doctor Who actors that appeared there?
No, there weren't, but I don't know, maybe Paul Casey, who's generally inside the suits, was inside the Silence suit or the Cyberman suit, which they had quite a few Cybermen, actually, which is very good. No, and Nick Briggs Nick Briggs recorded a few things, and to start off with, we had a Dradoon go, Yo, go! And say things like, well, flash photography is prohibited by the laws of the Medusa Cascade and things like that, which is quite fun.
Excellent. I'm rather jealous because I don't ever get a chance to go. Obviously, I've seen the Doctor Experience, but I've never been to a proper event like this. Basically, because I'm skint. So, listeners, if you want to donate to the podcast on our Podbean website, there is a donate button that might... enable me to attend Doctor Who events, or better still, fund the podcast a bit better. But yeah, so there's,
and also, yes, you do get to visit those events. You can always report on them afterwards.
Yes, indeed. But I think funding of the podcast is the first. It's only if we get a massive influx of cash that actually allow me to actually attend such events. We just had a Doctor Who exhibition on the Isle of Wight many years ago. You may see the picture of me with Colin Baker. That was at the Doctor Who exhibition at the Needles on the Isle of Wight, where he opened it with Bessie, which is rather odd. And this is where me and Alistair Pearson... There's a picture of me and Alistair Pearson where Alistair actually got to wear the coat, and me and him and Colin were stood in Bessie having our picture taken. Now, that was a one-off. No other person apart from me and Alistair had our pictures taken with Colin Baker in Bessie. So that was quite a scoop, that one. So I'm quite proud of that picture.
That's on the west side of the island where... Marconi.
Yeah,
set
there's,
up,
a,
right?
There's a theme park there. It's a crap one, but it's still a theme park. But yeah, it's quite a good sort of half a day out if you want to go out there on a nice day. Robert is currently chatting with me on Facebook. Now, he can't go online because he's on his son's computer that hasn't got Skype. So I said that we've all missed him, and I asked him if he wanted to come off for a few minutes. He said that he can't because he's on a laptop without Skype. And he said he's missed being on and chatting with us. So I just said we're just about to finish recording episode 98. It says Robert is typing, so I've been waiting for actually to... God knows how much he's typing, because it's been that way for about a minute. So I'll allow you one question each in a moment when he eventually finishes typing. Who wants to go first? There we go. He stopped typing now. Who wants to go first with the questions for Robert? Don't all shout at once.
We'll have the Australian leg first. As there, we'll tell you what, we'll get the Australian and the American to ask questions, as they were so crap last time we were asking.
Well, what are you thinking? He has said, I've been listening to the podcast, at least the ones that James put on my iPod. When I go on my PC, I'll have to check what I've still to download. I've really wanted to start watching the new series of Doctor Who from the start. I've only had up to episode 95 on my iPod. I'll have to get downloading tomorrow. Then he'll probably get a bit sentimental because he'll hear how bloody worried we were about him. Yes. Hmm. So who wants to go first?
I will.
Go on then.
What is reality?
Well, don't ask him that. He could go on for hours. What?
What is the answer to life, the universe, and everything?
32.
42. I'm not going to answer that one. It takes me ages.
No,
right,
32.
Now.
You see,
Reese, do you have a question that I could actually ask without having to spend a half an hour typing it?
I'd like to know, how is he, and will he be able to join us next episode?
Yeah. How are you, and can you join us next episode? Here we go. Is he going to answer? Robert is typing. Hang on, he's still typing. God knows how long the answer's going to be.
Typing a lot. Yeah. Honestly, you could say, I'm feeling okay, and then I might be able to come on next time.
Well, probably is. If you take time for half an hour to say, lot better, and yes. Oh, it's still typing.
Silence on the podcast.
Silence is golden, golden.
When you're alone,
I still see.
Silence is golden.
But my eyes. You know, there's an interesting fact about that song as we're waiting for the
reply.
Mm. That song was obviously written by performed by the Tremolos. One of the Tremolos was Chip Hawkes, who is Chesney Hawkes' dad.
Well. Chesney Hawkes follows me on Twitter.
Chesney Hawkes used to go to a pub called the Blue something or other that's about 10 miles away. No, it's in between Farnborough and Farnham, but they've closed it down. It was a blues club. It was really nice. We went there a couple of times and saw him and his brother there.
Cool. Nice bloke.
I don't know.
None of those names meant anything.
Don't worry about it. Still waiting for this to load up.
Tell him to type faster.
Should I just hurry up? We're waiting for the answer. No, oh, hang on, there we go.
We don't care.
For sure, I've read in the newspaper that Mega Upload has closed down. So what would I use? I've really, really missed things. I always look forward to chatting with you guys. Thank you for your concern too. My brother Mark is impressed with you. Oh, good Lord. Thank you for caring. It means a lot. Oh, get a lump in my throat now. Yeah, I think we'll move on from the Robert Haynes questions. And let's hope
he could use Dropbox if he's wondering.
Do you want my questions now?
Yeah, hang on.
No.
Yes, go on then, Ben.
Right, firstly, can you ask him if fat people can go skinny dipping?
God, can fat people, oh God, I can't write. That's an R.
Then you can ask him why the word abbreviation is so long. You can ask him if he knows another word for
questions.
You can ask him if he knows another word for thesaurus.
No, I'm not going to go that far.
You can ask him if a book about failures doesn't sell, if it's a success.
What page are you reading these off?
These are all off the top of my head, sir.
They're rhetorical questions. Is it rhetoricalquestions.com?
You can ask him when companies strip styrofoam, what they pack it in.
You mean ship, not strip?
If you're cross-eyed and have dyslexia, can you read all right?
God's sake. I'm just going to wait for his answer on this, and then I'm going to end the show so I can start cooking the dog's dinner.
If a stealth bomber crashes into a forest, is there a sound?
Now, with our new puppy, we just buy dog food. Why do you have to cook dinner for your
dog? I've got a question in relation to dogs, right? Why is it that even though me and all the other people I know pick up their dog around the bloody place, you still see dog on pavements?
You can ask, do cemetery workers prefer the graveyard shift? If someone with multiple personalities threatens to kill themselves, is it considered a hostage situation?
Yes.
Is it a little bit unnerving that doctors call what they do a practice? When sign makers go on their strike, is anything written on their signs?
Well, has he answered yet?
He's
Why
typing.
Isn't there mouse-flavoured cat food?
Very good, yes. That is really
Would a
good.
Fly without wings be called a walk?
Yes. Yes.
Why do they lock petrol station bathrooms? Is it because they're afraid someone will clean them? Or that George Michael will try and sneak in? You could ask why do they sterilise needles for lethal injections?
Anyway.
Why kamikaze pilots wear helmets?
I've got an answer from Robert.
Is it true that cannibals don't eat clowns because they taste funny?
I've got an answer from Robert.
Yes?
He said, I've missed that humour. No to the fat people, skinny dipping too. There you go.
How many of those questions did you actually type?
Only two.
Okay. Why is it considered necessary to nail down the lid of a coffin?
That's enough.
Just in case if they drop the coffin, the body doesn't fall out and scare all the other relatives, so more funerals will be...
Why can't women put on mascara with their mouth closed?
Be quiet. All right.
Why have you never seen the headline Psychic Wins Lottery?
Next week we are going to be looking at the what's it called again?
Why is the third hand on a watch called a second hand? is the time of day with the
long game? Next
the
week,
long game.
Long game.
That's what she said.
Now,
why is the word dictionary in the dictionary?
I have a funny feeling we might have a skip a week when it comes to reviewing the story that's after the long game, because I think episode 100 is going to be so embroiled in our own glory and feedback and stuff, and the return of Robert. I know he'll be back for hopefully next week. But ow!
Why don't they make a plane out of the same substance they make the little indestructible black box out of?
Very shortly, I'm going to be interviewing somebody called Andrew Smith. Now, he is the writer of Full Circle, and also the youngest Doctor Who writer ever to have his story put on. He was a teenager, I think, when Full Circle came onto air. And looking forward to interviewing him, but it can't be interviewed live on the show, so I've got to interview him during the week. Now, I'm hoping that one of you lot might be available at that particular time to join me for this particular interview, and I've just got a reminder here when it is. Oh, it's tomorrow.
Dear, what time?
Hang on, I'm just trying to get the reminder to open up. Bear with me. Yes, 8 p.m. Tomorrow.
I'm out.
I can't. Sorry, I have to work.
I'm just trying to figure out what time that would be here.
Well,
Thursday morning 8
p.m.
at 4 o'clock.
Is precisely 7 hours. Well, sorry, 6 hours and 45 minutes. No. Yeah, 6 hours and 15 minutes. Is it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6? 7 hours.
The middle of the afternoon,
minutes.
I'll be working. Sorry.
From now. Ben, what are you doing? You're out, are you?
I'll be out, yeah.
So it'll be just me then. Just me.
Just you.
Yeah. All right, the other two will have only come up with one question every 45 minutes anyway.
Ask him, did he expect Adric to become such a...
a knob?
Unpromising character.
I'll say, God, I've lost my picture on the
screen. Ask him why he decided to dress Adric in a pair of pyjamas.
It wasn't him, it was a costume designer that designed that.
No, it wasn't, he did it all.
Did he?
Watch the episode, all of the members of whatever they called the ship were dressed in.
Flapjacks.
That sort of thing.
Okay.
Except only one had a special award for mathematics.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
That's all right. Next week, it's episode 99, and hopefully
ask him if he actually thought Adric should be the sheriff.
Hopefully you'll be here for that.
Yeah.
In the meantime, I've got to go and take some tablets and cook the dog's dinner. So thank you for joining. Thanks for coming back, Ben. And hopefully
we'll be
back next week with Robert.
She didn't say that.
Yay.
Yay. Bye.
Yay.
Bye.
Bye.
That's what she said. See ya.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance.
Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.